This is the sound of PCJ.
On shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet, this is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whatever the case may be. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station. It's hard to believe that we're already at the end of September. And I was just thinking about this the other day because it has felt as if this past summer has just flown by more so than previous times. I mean, I can't believe that we're already at the end of September. Thinking, where did September go? It was like a flash in the pan, as they say. It came and went just as quickly as you brush your teeth, didn't it? Anyway, I know that pretty soon many of you will be getting ready for winter, but yet in some parts of the world, like here, we thought that we would have a little break from the heat. That didn't happen. It only happened for a couple of days and then went right back to normal, including two typhoons. Yes, as of the date that we're recording this program, we have two typhoons in the region. One between Taipei and Japan, between Taiwan and Japan, and the other one coming directly for Taiwan, supposedly. That was the other thing I was just amazed at because I've said this before, we've had a lot of typhoons this year. It's really astonishing. Anyway, good morning, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, or good evening, good evening, good evening, or good morning, good morning, good morning, whatever the case may be. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to begin with a song that, you know, I heard the other day, and there are a number of versions of this song. There's one by Sammy Davis Jr., and there's two versions that were a hit, Petula Clark and also Andy Williams. I have to admit, I do prefer the Andy Williams version of this song. Petula Clark also had a hit with it, but not as big as Andy Williams' version. The song was composed by Hans Last, or Hansi, or James Last, as you may know of him. It's the song Happy Heart. Here's the one and only Andy Williams.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover there could be no all because you're me. changed my life so completely. Music fills my soul now. I've lost all control now. I'm not half, I'm whole now with your love.
One and only Andy Williams with Happy Heart, a song that was composed by James Lass and has been done by a number of very popular singers. Petula Clark also had a hit with that song. And I was reading some notes somewhere that when Andy Williams appeared on the Petula Clark song, the Petula Clark show, I should say, he actually ended up singing that song. And she put a stop to it, and the producers did, only because her version was also coming out in the UK at the same time. Would have been a little bit peculiar. Anyway, you're listening to your program, Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio. The other day we had a request, somebody wanting to hear something by George Gershwin. And they wanted to hear Rhapsody in Blue. But they wanted to hear a particular recording of Rhapsody in Blue. And that was a recording made in 1925 and 1976. A big gap in between those two sessions, and there is a very good reason for that. The orchestra is the Columbia Jazz Band and George Gershwin. That was recorded in 1925. In 1976, the Buffalo Philharmonic was recorded, directed by Michael Tilson Thomas. And what they did is they took the original 1925 recording, did a new orchestral recording with the Buffalo Symphony, the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, and then combined the two of them together. Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So we're going to take a listen to the whole piece right now. And then when we come back from that, another installment of The Name Game with Bob Zanotti. But first, an absolutely fantastic mixture of jazz and classical, Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin, performed by the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra, featuring George Gershwin on piano. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin. You probably noticed there was a small technical glitch in there. Unfortunately, we only realized it as it was playing, but we just didn't stop it. We just let it play all the way through, only twice, but wasn't too bad. Hopefully it didn't take away from your enjoyment of it. It's funny, the first time that I heard that on radio, because it's a piece that most programmers won't program because it's over 13 minutes long. But more than 20 years ago, there was a radio program on CBC Radio that I used to listen to occasionally called Disc Drive with Jürgen Gotth. And I remember the first time that I heard it on radio. Jürgen Gotth said, "We're now going to listen to George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue performed by whatever orchestra it was. We're going to play the full-length version of 13-plus minutes, because there's actually even a shorter version of it, which was recorded about 60 years ago. But he said, we're going to take a listen to the full-length version. And he said, I know we normally don't play pieces that are over 13 minutes, but there is a special reason for that today, because I need to go to the washroom. And he did go to the washroom, because when it ended, he missed his cue. And as it was ending, you can hear him opening the studio door. Very funny indeed. All right. You're listening to your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio. Our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. We now bring you another installment of Bob Zanotti's The Name Game. Where is Bob Zanotti this week? Well, let's tune in and try to find out.
And welcome once again to The Name Game. This is Bob Zanotti. We're in a quiet spot here above the Lake of Geneva. We are above the world-famous resort of Montreux on the Lake of Geneva. I came up from Montreux on a funicular railway and got off at our mystery destination, which is not completely at the end of the line. That continues. But that's the first clue. We are fairly well up the mountainside in a kind of a plateau where it's a little bit flatter here than in some other parts of this mountaintop. And from the train station, we look over here into France. We look down on the Lake of Geneva. We see the beautiful, what's called Riviera, the area of the Lake of Geneva on the north shore between Lausanne and Montreux. But there's certainly much, much more to the story. I'm walking down the road, and I see someone, an old friend, and he's standing at the entrance of one of the most impressive structures you'll see anywhere. Nice. Andrew Stellibras.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You had a good journey up the hill.
I did, and it's always a pleasure to come up here. We are at what is called Mountain House, which is, I know you'll permit me the term, which we'll explain and qualify later, in a way, the world headquarters, at least at this moment, of a movement called moral rearmament. Now, that in itself might scare a lot of people. We want to talk about moral rearmament on this rather special edition of the Name Game, because it is moral rearmament, or MRA for short, that has truly put this tiny place above Lake Geneva on the map internationally. Shall we go inside?
Let's go on in. Yeah.
This is absolutely splendid.
This building is going to be 100 years old next year. And I like to think of it as an old lady who's been around, who's seen a thing or two, who's had quite an experience.
Heard of a thing or two, too, I'm sure.
Heard a thing or two, seen people come and go. It was built as a luxury hotel in the years just the turn of the last century. It opened in 1902, and the great and the famous
beautiful.
Of the world came here.
We're just in a meeting area. This is where the podium is almost like in a slightly elevated dais or a stage, and chairs. It looks like almost a chamber of parliament here, and outside we have a beautiful panoramic view. We're looking into France over there, I believe, right over and down into the lake.
France from the right of the mountain over there, mm-hmm. and the mountains to the left are all in Switzerland.
And a huge fireplace. I can imagine in the old days when this was a hotel, that was probably lit here during the colder months.
This would have been the salon of the hotel and the tea parlor, and you'd have had an orchestra probably playing hidden in the plants over there. If we come just to the middle, we'll hear an echo, which is rather strange. You may already start to hear it, but my voice is starting to echo now.
We can hear that.
And there's a chapter in a book by the American author Scott Fitzgerald, which is actually set in this hall and which talks about this echo, Tender is the Night. He describes the journey that you've made today up in the train, the view over the lake, and he describes exactly this spot.
It's like a dome or a cupola,
like a dome,
we could say, yes.
Yeah.
And all of the acoustics come together at one focal point, like a parabolic antenna,
exactly.
And they're directed down to us here.
So this opened in 1902, and I often say to visitors, it's a little bit like the Titanic. They've seen the film, The Titanic.
Very apt.
But this was built at about the same time for the same sort of luxury, rich mm-hmm. clientele. It was built as a self-contained world with all the shops that were necessary. It had a sort of a shopping mall before shopping malls became shopping malls. And I say it was the jet set before the jets who used to live here. And one of the guests, Arthur Rubinstein, in his the great musician, in his autobiography, talks of life here being like life on a transatlantic liner. The tables and chairs that you see over there in the corner, they are actually to be seen on the photographs of the opening in 1902. Mm. And I often say that, in a way, as far as architectural heritage is concerned, the building's been very lucky that our movement never had the money to spoil it. Otherwise, we might have improved it beyond recognition. But what you're seeing is really a palace hotel.
We're going back
in
history.
From the beginning of the century, mm-hmm. almost unchanged.
Almost a walk back into history, literally.
Almost a walk back into history. We're just going to go into the beginning of one of the corridors, just so you uh-huh. get an idea. These are the bedrooms going off on the front. And all of these front rooms on our left, which have this incredible view, and every single room has a balcony, they all had communicating doors between them so people could take suites of rooms.
What happened to the hotel business?
The hotel business is awfully prone to outside elements, and wars are absolutely fatal to the hotel business. Mm-hmm. And twice you can see in the guest register how within a week the guests go and your hotel is empty. So in 1914, you can see that, and in 1939. And it was the two world wars that absolutely ruined the hotel.
Mm-hmm. On the way up on the funicular, I noticed there was a medical center down below. Was this also one of the reasons why people came here for their health?
Yes, it was. At that time, of course, quite a lot of people were dying of TB, and there was no cure for it. There were no antibiotics. And one of the ideas was that the clean, pure air of the altitude would help people get over their health problems. So they sold this as a health resort with very healthy air and with saunas and salt baths
The air is still good up
the
here.
The air is still fabulous,
yes.
Yeah.
We've changed the location now. We're on a different floor. Outside is a beautiful garden. But we hear some noise in the background. It sounds like the kitchen.
You're right, it's the kitchen, and I can hear, I think, the end of the wash-up from lunch. We work in teams, and it's a marvelous way of getting to know better some of the people from around the world who are here for the conferences, working together in a team from around the world, and that experience of serving each other.
Andrew, the question begs itself. We said at the very beginning that we know over the years so many people have developed wrong impressions about moral rearmament. It just doesn't sound contemporary, and people have all kinds of ideas what this is and what it is not. Will you please straighten the record out for us? What is moral rearmament? Where does it come from? What is its philosophy and purpose?
Well, I think I'll start with where it comes from. The American who founded this movement, Frank Bookman, launched the phrase in the last years before the Second World War. What the world really needs now is a moral and spiritual rearmament, at a time when the European nations were rearming for what everyone feared would be another war, and that is what indeed
came. So instead of military arms, we needed a moral, human rearmament.
Exactly.
Human values.
Change in people's hearts, in their minds, as being an antidote to violence and war. We are in the process of, in fact, searching for a new name at the moment, because we're aware of the fact that rearmament doesn't sound good, and moral sounds a bit moralizing.
But you are not the Salvation Army.
No.
No.
But I have a great respect for the Salvation Army, but we're not them. And the very simple, basic idea is that if you want to see a change in the world, you need to be ready to start with a change in yourself. But I would define moral rearmament now as an interreligious movement, so you can't compare it with a sect. We come from different religious backgrounds, but we try to help people to find in the roots of their own spiritual tradition the wherewithal to make the link between the theory and the practice. And we're trying constantly to make that link between the way I live, my own personal life, and what happens in the society around me. So we're not just interested in making men and women better men and women, happier men and women, but also more effective men and women in changing the things that need to be changed in the world around us.
We have two people here I just happen to hear in the background, and I believe they're even speaking English. We haven't arranged this, and they have no idea I'm coming. May I ask where you're from?
From Yugoslavia, Belgrade.
And where are you from?
Nottingham in England.
And I'm studying here about peace building, reconciliation, trauma healing.
I'm a police officer from England, and we are here for Hope in the Cities, hoping to take back with us some ideas and concepts, innovative change and approaches to addressing issues of underrepresentation and exclusion from a range of different areas, from education through to health and the criminal justice system.
Andrew, these are two different points of view and two different sets of interests. I guess this would be typical for the kind of information and issues dealt with here.
Yes, I think so. I think you've heard two phrases that went by rather quickly there. We had Hope in the Cities, and one of the major programs of moral rearmament, particularly growing in the United States, but now, as you heard from that young police officer from Britain, it's trying to deal with these issues of exclusion and of race relations, where in so many of our cities there are people from different backgrounds who have to learn to live and work together, and majorities that have to give their place to people from minorities. And you also heard the phrase, the Co-Scholars Program. It's been running for 10 years now, and every summer, as part of the summer conferences here, we've had students from all over the world who have been studying applied conflict resolution, because that is very much part of the tradition of the house, is building bridges between peoples who don't get on together, who don't understand, in conflict situations.
I see you're from the United States.
Yes, I am.
What brought you here?
I came to be a part of a conference and to be a part of an entire summer here.
And what is your particular area of interest?
I work in the United States in race relations and reconciliation, and also I enjoy being a part of a larger group that are looking at aims and values.
Was it worth the trip over?
Absolutely, no question. Not even a moment's hesitation.
Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
Now, this brings up the subject, Andrew, as we move out to the beautiful gardens here with that magnificent view of the Lake of Geneva outside. And we just heard an important word, conferences. Now, we have to make the point as we near the end of this edition of the Name Game that every year, I know over the many years of moral rearmament here in Mountain House, you have had distinguished guests and visitors and lecturers from all walks of life, leading personalities from politics and industry, science, certainly the arts and so on. And there is a strong Swiss connection between the movement and Switzerland. There is a kind of secretariat, at least in charge of the conferences. If anything resembles a headquarters, quote-unquote, of MRA, I guess it would be that here in Switzerland.
Well, one of the issues on a private internal agenda for private meetings during this summer is to see whether we should create some international structure. And the talk is that if we decide to do that, if the different legal bodies in different countries decide to do that, that the official office might be here in Switzerland, and that would be a very natural thing.
Andrew Stellebras of the Moral Rearmament Movement, which, for all intents and purposes, at least once a year, is headquartered at our mystery location on today's Name Game. It's been a rather special edition, and without MRA, the place we're at today probably wouldn't be on the map, I dare say.
I think you're right. I think that's true. In the post-war years, say before 1939, yes, it was known for winter sports, but the snow has gone and the ski resorts have to be higher. The rich and the famous of those years before the First World War, they've all been killed. Their families and fortunes have mostly vanished. Tourist habits change. I think without this conference center, this village would have been bypassed and forgotten.
Where have we been today? That's the question, as always, on this edition of the Name Game. We are above the Lake of Geneva, above the famous resort of Montreux. We took a funicular. There is a road leading up here, a very good road, but the classic way is to take the funicular. There is a station here right down the street, just a couple of hundred meters away. Andrew Stellebras, thank you very much for taking the time. You're a very busy man these days, and lots of luck playing the Name Game.
Now, do you know where Bob Zanotti is? If you do, let us know. Our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. If you do figure it out, when you send us an email or post us a letter, we'll send you a little thank you gift. We've already sent the first batch out of people that have won. And after we finish the series, there's going to be a great wall of... I was going to call it the Great Wall of Shame. No, I'm going to call it the Great Wall of the Name Game, putting up all the names of all those who got the answers to every single Name Game episode. We'll have another one for you next week. Speaking of things coming up, we're going to be doing another one of our on-the-road shows next month. And a lot of people have suggested, you know, we should do maybe from time to time an on-the-road show here in Taiwan. So that's what we're going to do. Where are we going to be? Well, tune in next month and you will find out. Time now for more music. Let's head down under to Australia with a band that was very popular in the 1980s and 90s called Midnight Oil. This is from the album. What is the name of the album? Here we go. Diesel and Dust, which includes their hit single, Beds Are Burning. But we're not going to take a listen to that one. We're going to take a listen to another one called The Dead Heart.
Yeah. truly don't serve your king. Know your custom, don't speak your tongue. White men came, took everyone. We don't need protection, don't need your hand. Keep your promise on where we stand. We will listen, we'll understand.
From Australia, Midnight Oil with the Dead Heart. Where else can you hear, during the same program, Andy Williams, George Gershwin, and a rock and roll band from Australia? Talk about a mix. Really is a mix. And speaking of a mix, I think now maybe we should have a little bit of marching music. So we're going to listen to Strike Up the Band, performed by Andre Kosteletz and his orchestra.
We'll be right back. Irish love has. Welcome home to our land. You fascinate me with your funny meow. I'll feed you catnip and sweet milk from the cow. Felix, Felix, in our backyard, you can hang up your hat. Make your pillow underneath a pussy willow, Felix.
Oh, why not? We still had a little bit of time. Felix the Cat, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, recorded in 1928, and before that, Strike Up the Band. Yes, really a mixture of stuff. I think there's only a few music forms that we haven't played on the program because we have, I think, literally played everything. We've played country, we've played rock and roll, we've played disco. I think we'd even played techno one time. Classical, jazz, easy listening, baroque, you know, many, many different styles. Except hard rock. No, I tell a lie, we actually have. I think we did. Before. Maybe we should one day play punk. If we did, the only band that I would play is the Sex Pistols. It's the only punk band, actually, that I do like and always have liked. Especially that first album of theirs, which has the song God Save the Queen, which is an absolutely classic album. Of course, I don't think Her Majesty would appreciate the lyric that much, but it doesn't matter. She's not going to listen anyway. Anyway, I am babbling on for no apparent reason. Once again, if you wish to contact us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. You can also check out all past editions of the program by going to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/nothing. Got you, didn't I? Yes, www.pcjmedia.com for not just this program, Happy Station, but also all other programs from PCJ as well. If you're on Facebook, do a search for PCJ Media, PCJ Radio. Click on Join the Group, and that's all you need to do, and you can take part in some very, very interesting discussions, yeah. Very interesting discussions. And from time to time, some of the guests and other people that you hear on this program, as well as from other PCJ programs, you'll find there as well. Anyway, I'm going to leave you right now, so until next time, friends, this is Keith Parent saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.